Stage and On the Air, Performance 357. I'm Nicole Shiro with co-host Bob Tolero and guest engineer Tracy Schultz. You're listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 and KOOP.org. Each week we take a look at theater from many angles. If it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air.
Your eyes on the wonders of this world.
Wednesday, April 19th, 2016. Today we'll have on Nathan Jerkins from Penfold Theater talking about a special event they'll be doing, along with revisiting a little interview and some highlights with Ben Vereen. And we're going to give our listeners today a little taste of what we do at Backstage at Offstage. And we're going to play a little bit of one of our Backstage at Offstage segments that we have done and not aired with Holland Taylor.
Miss Taylor.
Yes. And of course, we'll have lively discussions, including the news and views from the world of theater in Austin, New York, and beyond. Stay with us. Well, did you guys hear that song about the fishies? Did you hear that in the background?
Yeah, that was a pretty three little fishies.
Yes, I'll tell you what that's about real quick. But let me say hello to everyone. So first, Bob, welcome, Bob Tolero. Thank
hello,
you.
Hello, Radio Land.
Yes, thank you for coming in and co-hosting with me today.
Pleasure.
It's very, very exciting. And Tracy Schultz, thank you for guest engineering and for a wonderful remix before this show here today.
Yeah. Thank you so much. She's like, yeah, I'm a big comedy fan, so I had to do a show all around the Moon Tower Comedy
Festival. Well, you know what? That's actually one of the best comedy festivals out there, and we're lucky enough to have it in Austin, so I would want to talk about it, too. I mean, it's...
Oh, totally, yeah.
It's pretty... bananas. I mean, look at the first name right there, Martin Short. Do I need to say anymore? And right below him is David Cross. I mean,
yeah.
Kevin Smith, my Jersey boy. Yeah.
Jersey boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Total Jersey. Red Bank, Asbury, like right near that.
Always has is like the hockey jerseys. It's like it's always sporting the jerseys.
He's still wearing them these days. But we have one of our guests. Nathan is not here yet, so when he gets here, I will introduce him. But so far, it's just us right now. The weather outside is nice at the moment.
Yeah.
It's a little muggy. Poor Houston, my poor family up east, they keep calling to make sure that I haven't flooded away. And I'm like, no, it's not us this time. It's Houston.
Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah, Amy's husband got deployed yesterday there, and he's in rescue. It's bad. You know it's bad when the news anchor is reporting on air, and a little old man's driving by, and he turns around and says, I wouldn't drive there. There's a water crossing. And the little old man keeps driving, and the news anchor goes and saves the little old man live on TV. You know it's bad storms.
It's bad. Yeah. I don't know about downtown. I don't know if the tunnels have been flooded.
I don't know. Isn't that funny that there's an underground city in Houston where it's below sea level?
Yeah.
I find that fascinating.
It's all about air conditioning.
But so that little first song I played was Three Little Fishes. And it is actually, I played the part. It was sung by Doris Roberts. We lost Doris Roberts this week, and I wanted to play that. But that song is actually her and Andrea McArdle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The original Annie. Oh. What's funny is Doris has been in 13 Broadway productions, 13 theater productions. That's a lot. And yet, I don't have her on any original cast recordings. So I had to pull this from something different. But I was like, hey, brilliant. It's Andrea McArdle and Doris Roberts. Yeah. So, like, we can do that. What a loss. She was a pistol, man. She really, really is a pistol. Tracy, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah. It's of course, a lot of folks know her. It's like from Everybody Loves
Raymond.
But she was a driving force in entertainment for 50, 60 years? She passed at 90?
90, yeah.
So she's done a lot.
She's got a history. She sure does.
We've gotten the chance to see her in multiple things.
She was, I guess some of these, like some of the credits I counted, three or four were off-Broadway. This is still pretty impressive. She most recently was seen in Love, Loss, and What I Wore off-Broadway in 2009. Mm-hmm. She was in Bye Bye Birdie in the Encores concert production. I wish I was looking for a recording of that. Wouldn't have that been awesome.
Yes.
Cheaters, Bad Habits, The Secret Affairs of Mildred Wilde, The Last of the Red Hot Lovers, The Natural Look, Under the Weather, Malcolm, Marathon 33, The Death Set, The Time of Your Life, and The Office. And Bob Tolero, she wore a hat like you. She was assistant stage managed.
I love those people.
That can wear the many hats, direct, many act, hats. Stage. I know.
Anything to not get a job.
She is an assistant stage manager production for The Desk Set in 1955, which she ended up being in later on. So God bless you, Doris Roberts, and a loss. But thank you for the legacy you did leave.
All right,
for the rest of us. I think that's awesome. So I'm going to talk about this because I can't not talk about it because I've been so excited since 2013. American Psycho. It opens tomorrow.
It's your favorite show of the year.
It is. It is. I've been saying it since London. I think this, it's funny. I get overseas fascinations because I was fascinated with Matilda for years.
Right, right.
I was fascinated with Rocky Das Musical in Germany for years. It's hilarious. I don't know why, but I've been obsessed with Charlie the Chocolate Factory, which is finally getting its move to New York also from England. So I'm excited about that.
Yes, it is. Bob Boyette is direct.
Is Bob Boyette part? Is he? That. Well, what doesn't Bob Boyette do? He's like Hugh Jackman and J.J. Watt. What can't Bob Boyette do?
Touch of gold.
You know? Yeah, he does. He is King Midas with his golden touch. So they announced this week, it opens tomorrow, but the reason I'm bringing this up is not just because I want to talk about it, but they actually put out a trailer and parts of the show. Because if you were looking for images, you could find stills of the show, but any type of video was only of the London production. So, you know, you wonder, things change. So you wonder, what does it look like? What's going on? You saw they released a press video and they did like a press invite months ago, but that's not the same thing. They're in rehearsal. They're not in full costume. It's, right. You know, it's just
a workshop.
No, there really isn't. there's a splatter raincoat and he's in his underwear a lot. But as I say, you know, when you have to murder people, I guess you got to clean up quickly. And as Patrick Bateman likes to say, I don't drink red wine. I don't want to stain the Calvin Klein.
Love it.
So, you know, I get where he's going. But this video gave me such a reaction. I can't stop watching it. I sent it to the two of you. Mm-hmm. I have sent it to so many people who, A, thought I was nuts for wanting see a musical about a serial killer, who would looked at me and go, don't like musicals on top of it. And every single person has loved it. And I didn't expect to get that many people like connected. Responding
well,
that way.
You don't expect it. And even the author went to a preview. Did you read about that in New York Times?
No.
He went to it, but he had not seen it. He had not seen the London. And he was almost daring them to make it interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And as the show went on and on, he got more and more tickled. And tickled and tickled. And by the end, he was totally a fan. So I forget his name, Ellis. I can't remember. I'm so bad.
Is it Scott Ellis, isn't it?
Yeah. And he was like,
you know, he's a Kander and Ed protege, that
yes,
Scott
indeed,
Ellis. What
indeed.
Hasn't he been in?
And so he has an imprimatur on the play.
Oh,
let's
that's exciting. Well, there was another article. I'm fascinated with shows that have water, fire, or blood budgets. And, you know, this has it. I love that. Vanity Fair wrote an article but it's actually kind of fascinating. They talked to the whole creative team behind the show, but the headline was the creative team behind Broadway's American Psycho on embracing the 80s and dealing with a lot of parentheses fake blood. And I'm like, see, I'm not the only one fascinated by it, but yeah, they do have there's turntables, kind of like records that are on the set. I don't know. It looks so freaking good. I love this right here. And I'm like, ah. And this is why if you just read this, people be like, I don't want to see this. But then you watch how it's done and you're like, oh, this is fascinating. The famous scene in which a raincoat clad Patrick Bateman, played by the delicious Benjamin Walker. And I add delicious as a personal note. He did not write this in the article. Axe murders his rival, Paul Owen, played by Drew Moreland, takes place behind a plastic scrim to protect the audience from errant spurts. And then in parentheses, at least that's the intention. But during previews, at least one patron wasn't so lucky. And that's the patron we spoke about.
That's
that
right.
That got her Louis Vuitton and Burberry scarf
God
ruined.
God forbid.
God forbid. You know, so.
But it's for the sake of theater. So it's like
it's all for the sake of theater. Yeah.
It's a, it, you got a memento that you weren't expecting.
Well, I find this interesting because they wrote in here, I think it's pretty clear we're not going to put the film on stage or the book on stage. So that intrigues me because, I mean, the whole killing Apollo, and that is part of the book. That is part of the movie. That is, you know, the basis. So what did they change? What didn't they? It should be interesting. There's only, I believe, 4 murders in the show.
Oh, is that true?
I believe so. I think that's what I read. But they said they felt that recreating the attitude of the late 80s was the most important. And I was excited to hear that because, and I don't know about you guys, I don't know if you've read the book, but when you read the book, to me, yes, it's about a serial killer, but to me, it's about capitalism and the 80s and all of that changing in that moment
and
in
time.
And I
think that's going to take it a step beyond, and you're going to enjoy this for the satire that it might be, as well as, well, some incredible performances.
And who doesn't get excited about a man still listening to a Walkman? he wrote in there, I'm not trying to recreate the Christian Bale world. It was great, but even though the book has incredibly graphic violence in it, it's written with such forensic prose that I felt we have an obligation to deliver the violence as metaphor.
Exactly.
So, and they write, after the climatic murder of Paul Owens, things get bloody again in the second act when murderous fantasies are imagined as an ensemble of dance numbers and Walker treads the stage in a pair of underwear accessorized only with decorative splats. and so the choreographer, Lynn Page, it was the first time she's a Tony nominee. It was the first time she'd ever worked with fake blood. And she said she recalled a rehearsal dedicated to a, quote, blood workshop. And it came complete with a resident expert and plenty of plastic sheeting. She said she wanted the effects of the choreography and the blood and everything to come together seamlessly. But she said this really was a challenge when you try to marry the movement with it so that it doesn't look appallingly fake. But then you're trying to squeeze a pouch of blood in a hand and trying to direct it. And if you squeeze it the wrong bit, it fires out slightly the wrong angle. And plus she's dealing with movement. And I don't know. I find that fascinating. It was kind of like when they did Rocky and they did that fight scene. There's a great video showing how the fight choreographer and the blood choreographer and the dance choreographer all had to work together because that ring was in the center of the theater at this point and the audience was 360 degrees around it. So totally. You can't really do some of the tricks that they probably are doing.
Oh, I'm sure the tech rehearsals for this must have been.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to say they're like Spider-Man. No. But they're probably up there.
Well, it's hard to do a blood scene. Okay, let's do it again. Let's reset.
Well, there's probably nobody left hanging.
Well, there's probably a lot of mops. There's probably mops all over the
Probably
place.
Mops. I know. Can you imagine working crew on that show?
That's
They're
I'm
probably
saying.
There.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's probably a big staff. So, okay, so this made me laugh. I have this out of order, so I'm just going to go to this. Have you ever watched Jimmy Fallon and they do the mean tweets?
Yeah.
Love Jimmy Fallon.
Okay. Well, they've now started on Playbill.com. Or it's not Jimmy Kimmel. It's Jimmy Kimmel that does it, isn't it?
Kimmel. Yeah. Kimmel.
I love both of them, though.
They're all.
He gets the actors to actually read the things that people are saying about him in an anonymousness of being online.
Yes. And, like, really mean.
Comments.
Yeah. Well, they started a popular segment inspired by that using Broadway stars. So Lena Hall, Danny Bernstein, Leslie Margarita, Alex Brightman, just to name some of the folks that did them. And they have all these videos online. Poor Danny Bernstein, someone called him the Susan Lucci of the Tonys and can never get an award. And he is cracking up. Lena Hall, if Lena Hall mentions, quote, friendship is magic one more time, I'm going to stick a fork in my eye. Meanwhile, that is Pony Hater. So what did they say? Danny Bernstein's was, give him a Tony.
I love it.
I laughed at this so hard, and I was like, what a smart idea.
That's a great idea.
To include the Broadway world and all of this. So we'll have to post some of these. I found this, and there was another one I found late that I didn't get to pull the audio from to play some of it, but this cracked me up, and I was like, oh my gosh, how awesome.
Oh, good find.
It was a good find. So, okay, I guess we are going to talk about American Psycho for a second, but not just American Psycho again. The 2016 Outer Critics Circle nominees were announced.
Yes, they were.
Leading the pack are, dun 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 dun, with 8 nominations, She Loves Me.
Okay.
And American Psycho, which, may I add, isn't even technically open yet until tomorrow.
That's right. No reviews yet.
No reviews. And it got 8 Outer Critic Circle nominations.
How does that happen? Is it previews?
They're a little bit different. Yeah, they're different than the Tonys are.
They know enough of the production.
I wonder if they say how in here.
I was just curious because it's like you said, it's like it hasn't been seen by the public.
Well, it is seen by the public. It's open for previews right now. Okay. They'll preview for 3 to 4 weeks, depending on the show. So it is open, but technically, what a preview is, Tracy, is technically it is a show. You'll pay just like you would a regular opened performance. The magic of seeing a preview, and I personally, as an audience member, like to go to preview and then to opening, because the difference is it's not like a final dress rehearsal where a director will stop and work through and change things. It keeps going. But you'll have production meetings and team meetings, and you'll make edits and changes, and there'll be rewrites to scripts. There'll be numbers in. There'll be numbers out. All sorts of things. Have you ever had any, as your experience, Mr. Stage Manager and Broadway Man, have you had some big changes that you've done during previews?
We did previews of Anne at Lincoln Center, and every night we came up with new ideas. Originally, they didn't have an introduction to the play. Then they did have an introduction to the play, and then they got rid of the introduction to the play. Hmm. And then they said, now the audience is confused, so we have to go back and put the introduction back in. So, Bob, would you read this? And so this is how I got into the show.
Got it.
Was kind of like,
come on in, Bob.
Yeah, you're an equity actor, so we got to audition you for this lead in to Anne.
Right.
And that's kind of how I got in. It was really crazy. But yes, changes happen, and that's what it's for. We want to hear the audience. They want to get the audience feedback and say, this needs to be worked on. This is, yeah. It happens all the time.
It's common courtesy that reviewers, now this went out the window with Spider-Man because it took them so long to open. The reviewers finally were like, we're buying our own tickets and we'll review it. So there's times that it gets a little wonky, I would say. But they asked the reviewers not to come until opening night so that they're not there one night when something's in there. It's not when like the public goes to see it later and they're like, what are they talking about? That's not even in the show.
Right.
They want their reviewer to see the final project.
Right.
And you really get great feedback with an audience to know what works and doesn't work. There used to be a lot more out-of-town tryouts where they would go to different cities. And some shows still do that. Pippin was a great example of one.
Right?
Pippin was in Boston before. Color Purple's another great one in Atlanta before coming to New York. But it's very very old school 42nd Street. We're going to do the show, a tryout of the show. I mean, it is very odd and mystical and magical. So, yeah, nominated for 8. I can't believe I was kind of like, whoa, I was blown away by this. Outstanding New Broadway Musical. I found the shows chosen for Outstanding New Broadway Play interesting. Eclipse, The Father, The Humans, King Charles III, and Therese Raquin, right?
Raquin.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny because it didn't get really good reviews. Some of those did not get really good reviews.
I know. I don't know how that all works. The only one I saw was the King Charles III, which is a fascinating play. But The Humans has already a track record.
The Humans, yeah. The Humans has a really good track record. Outstanding Book of a Musical, Tracy. Your Bright Star is on there.
My favorite.
Yeah, and this is interesting. And I like when they do this. It's Broadway or off-Broadway. They'll put them together for these books for content.
Right.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Where the Tonys, that's not the Tonys. Tonys is Broadway. But Bright Stars, Daddy Long Legs, Dear Evan Hansen, Lazarus, the David Bowie musical.
Wow.
And On Your Feet, Gloria Estefan. That's an odd little combination.
Totally.
Like, what an odd. I think
that's
phenomenal. Different strokes for different folks. That's what makes the world go round.
Yes.
I think that's awesome. So, outstanding new score. And these are some heavy hitter, I'm going to say, not just composers, but these are people who play music all the time, because American Psycho, that's Duncan Sheik. Bright Star, it's Edie Brickell. Daddy Long Legs. Who was that? That was someone popular. Isn't that someone that writes regular too? Why can't I not think?
I can't remember myself.
Dear Evan Hansen and Waitress. I mean, Sarah Bareilles. And as you saw in their outstanding revival of a play, Bob Tolera, our fascination, the Crucible's on there.
Yes.
I know. But that weird Blackbird with Jeff Daniels and Michelle. We cannot. Lisa and I can't figure that one out. The content seems odd. I don't know.
It doesn't translate for you?
Does not.
But I remember seeing it's like them doing a lot of press for it and being on the late night TV shows, and Jeff Daniels is
He's still out talking about it. So I don't know. There's some really interesting stuff in here. I'm pretty excited. Bright Star, I should say Bright Star was right behind American Psycho and She Loves Me with 7, as was Gloria Estefan's On Your Feet. Lazarus is at 7. And good old Color Purple made it back in there with 3. So, I don't know, but that's exciting. That to me says I'm not crazy. There's something good about American Psycho.
We know what we like.
We know what I know what I like. This is a personal thing.
They got a really great PR department. And they're putting in the. They didn't hire me,
so it can't be that great, Tracy.
That's true. But it's like they're getting that play. It's like in front of the right people, and it's like getting the right. It's like. Things out of it.
So whatever it takes.
So this I found funny. Waitress, the new musical, the Sarah Bareilles musical starring Jesse Mueller, who was the original Carole King in Beautiful, based on the movie with Kerry Russell, they have a pie consultant. So, you know, when you go into the theater, they wanted it to smell like pies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you can buy pies in the concession. Yes, the Hoda and Kathy had all the pies and were tasting them on the other day. And the little chick here, you'll see the little jars that they have here. So, which I thought was like kind of brilliant marketing on their part. But they actually, it says props are for amateurs. Professional baker Stacey Donnelly cooks piping hot pies for every Broadway performance.
That's awesome.
I love that they wrote, props are for amateurs. Find out how she's raising the culinary bar on Broadway. And she point blank says, we're trying to make the theater smell like pie. And Shannon Bogus just went and saw it. And she said, Nicole, it did smell like pie. That's all. You walked in and it smelled like pie.
Down home.
But when you look at the stills, I mean, Jesse Mueller's really out there cooking and props. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was kind of like, whoa. So, but the pie consultant didn't just work with Jesse Mueller. She was responsible for teaching the pie maker in the cast to bake and cooking fresh pies for each show, whipping up mini pies for the merchandise stand, and now infusing the theater with the airs and smells of grandma's kitchen.
There you go.
So they ended up teaching the everybody, and the whole cast was going. So I kind of found it hilarious. They said it was an organic learning process and stuff. So I guess just like baking itself, but I think that's kind of funny, and I think it's going to make it better. Nathan, come on in. Nathan has joined us now. You know what? You could pop on either mic. I
like this mic.
That mic?
This is going to be my mic for today.
Yeah.
Hi, Nathan. Welcome.
Hi. It's wonderful to be here. It's lovely to be here. My apologies.
We were just finishing up a little bit of news. No, we were just talking about Outer Critics and Waitress getting a pie consultant smelling like pies.
I'm very excited about that musical.
I think that's brilliant.
It is kind of brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a great way to get people interactive. Okay, I keep saying I'm not going to talk about Hamilton anymore because I'm so sick of talking about Hamilton, but I can't not talk about these two things.
Of course you can.
So, it's going to change when American Psycho opens tomorrow and knocks Hamilton off its pedestal.
That's a big boast. I'm telling you.
Get your ticket yesterday.
That's how I feel. I know that like if I don't, I'm going to be upset with myself. This made me laugh. So all different folks from every different party, from a Bernie Sanders lover to a Hillary Clinton lover to a Donald Trump lover to the foes of all these people, somehow all magically created all these different videos on their own in honor of primary night using music from Hamilton the musical. And this is what I didn't pull the clips from, and I was laughing so hard. There's one for Bernie Sanders. There's one, another about Chelsea's mom using about Dana Crown. Yeah. Well Strung by Chelsea's mom. There's one called Hamil Trump, and it's Hamilton musical versus Trump. I was laughing so hard at all of these different videos. We will have to put him. Oh, Carol Channing for Lyndon Johnson.
Perfect.
Yeah, there were some of the most hilarious. I was like, who sat and did all this? And this is funny. We'll have to post these online because they made me laugh really hard. But here we go, Hamilton. Hats off to you. You won a Pulitzer Prize. Yep. I can't.
What a surprise.
I mean, only one of nine musicals ever, though, to win a Pulitzer Prize. And In Good Company, because two of my favorites, A Chorus Line and Rent, are two of those. That's impressive. I can't not talk about you because that's a Pulitzer Prize. It was founded, I guess. Let's see. He didn't get it. He was a finalist for In the Heights. I was like, it wasn't In the Heights. They were a finalist. So the musicals that have won are Of the I Sing, South Pacific, Fiorello, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, A Chorus Line, Sunday in the Park with George, sure. Rent, and Next to Normal.
Good company.
Good company. Really, yeah, good wow. company. So hats off to you for that one. And last but not least, Bob Tolero, I'm talking about Street, but you know, I got excited. And then first I'm like, we have a theater show. And then I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I forgot they announced this. First I'm like, why is Bob Tolero telling me he wants to talk about Cher? I mean, I love Cher.
I hear you.
But then I was like, oh, wait, it's because there's the new musical. So.
Uh-huh. What do you know about it?
Rick Elise of Jersey Boys and Peter and the Starcatcher. Not bad book writer, is writing the book. It's going to be based on Cher's life and musical career. Can I just tell you this? No one can see everyone. Nathan's got elation on his face.
I had never heard. I had no idea this was happening.
This got you excited, right?
This makes me very excited.
Are tickets on sale yet?
No, they're just in the middle of writing it. But, you know, one of the producers is from Hamilton, so they may go somewhere. They're scheduled to present it to the producers today.
Yes,
I'm giving you jazz hands do well.
And there are three actors.
Let me see if I could figure out
ages.
Are there three actors?
I think so. Cher said she could play the last one.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if Cher
does that.
Cher
would be so good.
She's such a good actress. Why not? I didn't have Barbie. I had a Cher doll and an Evel Knievel, and they went on dates together all the time. But what's funny is that the Cher doll was literally 2 feet taller than a Barbie, and the Evel Knievel doll was smaller than a Barbie but taller than a G.I. Joe.
Stop.
So they were a very odd couple going out. But yeah, Cher and Evel Knievel had many a good date on Del Monte. But that cracks me up.
Also, they're showing it already. They're presenting. I don't know if they're presenting them like a sit down of the show, a read through, or I'm not sure what they're doing.
Yeah, they don't say exactly what's going on. The show will include, though, I Got You, Babe, Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, Take Me Home, Believe, and If I Could Turn Back Time. So I don't know. I'm kind of excited about this. You know, Dolly Parton's working on her Broadway musical about her life, too.
Yeah.
She said it's going to take 2 years. So we got Cher to tide us over until then. Kind of exciting. So I'm not going to do the trivia question today because we have a lot of cool stuff. So why don't we listen to a little bit of Cher and get inspired?
Bless her heart.
I was born in the wagon of a traveling show. My mama used to dance for the money.
We are back. We are back. I have wrote weird things on the script and didn't save it, but I know it's you and I know what's going on. So we're good. So Nathan, you are here to tell us about, like, let's take theater and a musical icon and put it all together. And here you are, right on the heels of Cher. We're going to talk about I'm a Jersey Girl, so I love this man.
Shockingly, that's what we're doing. So the Penfold Theater Company, we are coming up on our spring gala that we hold every year. Cabaret-style entertainment, and beautiful hill country setting, all that sort of thing. And this year is the 100th birthday, were he still around, of Frank Sinatra. So we're going to have an evening of Sinatra. Penfold having produced several musicals in our past, we have quite a talented troupe of people willing to come and sing.
You want to tell us who some of these performers are?
Sure. So we have quite a few people from our past musicals, Andrew Cannata and Haley Smith. And we've got Jarrett King, who's going to be in Penfold's next production. We've conned Robert Ferris to come and sing for us.
Oh, I
so
love it.
So whoever has Wonderful. Wanted to hear him sing Sinatra, here's your chance. Anyway, quite a few.
That's kind of exciting. And you know what? He does love his martini.
Absolutely.
So I can't. I couldn't think of a better
yeah.
fit for Mr. Ferris.
So quite a few. Sarah Murray Curry, who was recently just in that last 5 years. Megan Rabus. Lots of really, really talented people. And also some people I want to specifically mention, not just Robert Ferris, who you don't get to hear sing all that often, but Stephanie Delk, who is typically known as a stage manager within the theater world.
Yep.
If you don't know, she's a terrifically, terrifically talented musician, and what a voice on her. So
Fantastic.
To have her come and convince her to sing us, you know,
now,
swinging jazzy
did
tunes.
Did you choose the song? Did you and Ryan sit down and say, okay, these are the songs we want to do? Or did you let the vocalist kind of say, hey, because there are probably some songs people are fighting over.
Sure. a little bit of both, right? So there are some people who come to you and say, oh, well, obviously I want to sing this. And, you know, by and large, unless they throw out something crazy, which none of them did, we're happy to let them. And then, of course, we divvy out some other thing. So Stephanie, I was just talking about, came in and, like, sent me a YouTube clip of the song Style, which I had never heard, but, like, Robin and the Seven Thieves, and it's, like, a Rat Pack movie trio song. She's like, I'm not sure who else is in the show or what else they're singing, but I'm going to need two other people to sing this song with me because I've got to sing this song. I was like, I have no idea what this song is. And you listen to it, and of course, it's terrifically good, as you would expect one of those songs to be. So, of course, we're hitting a lot of the highlights, and you're singing My Way and some musical theater standards, the Wee Small Hours of the Morning, those
sorts of things. Let's not forget, the longest American composing duo on Broadway history, one Kander and Ebb, did write New York, New York.
New York, New York. Of course, that's going to be out there as well.
Because Kander and Ebb are the bomb in my world.
True enough.
But God bless Frank Sinatra for doing that. How do you not love? I mean, it's. I don't know if I would be able to choose. If you told me I had to write and put together a song, I would have the hardest time editing this. Did
That's
you just get a dartboard out at a point?
At some point, yes. You're like, well, this is great. I don't know where it goes. And you either sort of shoehorn it in or you toss it out or you decide, I don't know. These are all like love song-ish thing, like maybe we could string them into a medley. And we'll do that.
Yeah,
sort
medleys
of thing.
Are
like,
good for that.
You have to just sort of touch some things, right? Even if you don't take your time and indulge in every song, and you don't have time to indulge in every song, that's like a weekend-long event and not a one-night event, right?
So, is there a narrative through it, or you just kind of talk a bit, or how does this go?
Well, we are trying to put together, largely, it's a chronological
sort of
showcase as he grows up and grows older and sort of walks through his phases of his life. And
he's a fascinating life, really,
right?
Besides being an incredible performer. Quite a fascinating, and we still always seem to be learning something new about him. Isn't that crazy?
He was around for a very long time through a lot of very interesting
right? And with a lot of very interesting people.
Oh, yes.
From different sides of the coin. Like, very, very interesting people.
There's a Broadway musical
Hoboken,
coming.
New Jersey. The home of baseball and Frank Sinatra. It's not a bad thing.
How has no one written a musical about Frank
Sinatra? Isn't that
kind of... It's got to be some sort of copyright, something or other.
You do
it. Okay,
you
done.
You know
That's
what?
It.
That is a good question. When you have shows like Beautiful and Motown, which have narratives, they're not just jukebox musicals. They're narratives.
Like Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we have Cher, we're Dolly Parton. How come Old Blue Eyes isn't out? It might be a rights thing. I wonder what that is.
Somebody out there might be trying their darndest.
Someone's in their living room listening right now going, I'm writing it, but I can't tell you yet.
It could be one of those things. Is there, like, waiting for an anniversary or something?
Yes, that's it. Well, it's you know, 100th anniversary of his birthday. This is your anniversary year to trot out all the Sinatra things, which, of course, lots of people are doing. The Grammys did a thing. There's touring shows that go about and do that. And we are holding down the Austin Fort with our own little local.
I love it,
local.
Though. Quickly, just real quick.
Yes, please.
May I have a number between 4 and 16?
4.
4. Let's see what 4 is.
Hello, I'm Liliane Montevecchi, and you are listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP, Arts by Austin. Bonsoir, bonjour, and I love you all. Je vous aime tous beaucoup. Au revoir, mes chéris.
I love Lillian Montevecchi. Oh, I really love her. It's my Lillian LaFleur from 9.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that
That's
was perfect. A wee wee. Oh, yes.
How can you not like that accent? It's adorable.
It's because it's French. Anything French sounds good. So I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, you are going to be having a live band or musicians. And
yes.
So how many pieces would this entail? Because Frank could
No.
Go big and go small.
That's true. Simple and classy, jazz trio.
Love it.
Piano and bass and percussion and everything that you would want in your little cabaret.
So I love that it's a lovely evening, and I really loved that you do have dinner. And I love that the menu got me hungry as the Italian that I am. I was like, eggplant parmesan. I was like, chicken parmesan. And I'm reading all the artichoke hearts, prosciutto. Oh. I was just reading the menu, getting just as excited as about the music because I'm Italian and that's what we do. As they say in 9, be Italian.
Be Italian.
Yes, please.
So tell us about Kindred Oaks. Kindred Oaks seems like a really cool place. I have not been there. And when I went online to look at it, I'm like, this looks really, it's a little enchanting.
It's terrifically lovely. So it's up north of town. It's just right about the edge of where Round Rock turns into Georgetown. It's between 35 and Mopac, sort of centrally, but way up north, of course. And it ends up being right on the edge of the hill country. So you're on a little hilltop, and there's a lake in the distance. And of course, you can see Austin out in the skyline.
Oh,
that
how
way
great.
Or other. But it really is this sort of jewel because you're riding up there and you're going through 35 and there's all of this development and you're like, where am I? Why am I going here to do this thing? And then you take a couple turns and you're back around a corner on this hilltop and it really is lovely.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I know. It sounds magical. I wish we had music was like dream segue and we're all just magically there.
You feel that way turning around
dream
the corner.
Segue and go all the way back.
Smell that profusely.
More of my
right
life
now.
Needs to be a dream segue.
Wouldn't that be exciting? And the
yes,
music just
please.
Appears.
Please.
Well, this is very, very, very exciting. And it's one night only, correct?
One night only.
So that's May 1st. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so excited. So thank you so much for coming on and telling us about this. We had Nathan Jerkins here talking about A Marvelous Party, A Night with Sinatra, May 1st out at Kindred Oaks Estate. For more information, you may visit penfoldtheater.org.
All of those words are true.
See, I'm not a liar.
Well done.
In honor of Frank. But Broadway, I chose a little Alan Cumming singing, That's Life.
Oh, we love that.
Classy.
That's life.
Oh, hello, we're back. We're back. So Bob, we're going to do local, and I know you had something that you wanted to talk about. I have it too, but I'm going to let you bring this up. I think this is kind of important, and people should know that this option is out there for them if they choose to be involved. But this is really exciting. So
yeah, this is great. As you know, the arts community is having issues trying to find spaces in town. The economy is kind of pushing everyone out to different parts of the city. So the Cultural Arts Division is having a meeting this evening. It's going to give your input on the Creative Ecosystem Omnibus Resolution, the Arts Commission public hearing tonight, Wednesday, April 20th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Marquesa Hall and Theater on Middle Fiskville Road. And at this meeting, members of the public will have an opportunity to give feedback to the Arts Commission about the resolution and offer ideas, suggestions around the topics of affordable space, health and educational services, industry and professional development, and city regulations, operations, and incentives. So we're hoping that we have a good show out there tonight. If you're not doing anything, get out to the Marquesa and listen to the ideas. This is your community, and this is a chance for you to show your support to the council.
It's a way for you to get your voice, because there's a lot of opinions. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of people and a lot of communities trying. I mean, on the Chronicle last week, the cover was the Austin Creative Alliance and what we need to do to change. I mean, we are a very art-centric city. I mean, Amy Layton and I were talking about this earlier. We're one of like 10 or 15 cities in the United States that has professional theaters, ballet, opera, and a symphony. Not all cities have all four of those in their city. I mean, that's huge.
It is huge.
We always focus on music so much, and sometimes the theater seems to be forgotten. And we're learning, as we learned today on the show, music is a big part of theater, and these worlds are art worlds, such just as dance and opera and everything else, and they're important to each other, and that we all support each other. So if you would like to get involved and learn more and get your voice heard and let the Arts Commission know what you have to think, you can go there. There's more information on the Cultural Arts Division page, too.
Very well said. Yeah, it's like it's a big thing.
It really, really is. And I love that, you know, we're able to have a voice in our city as citizens and be able to say how we feel and what our thoughts are. And what a cool process. So quickly, today in theater history, 1908, the four Coens, George, Helen, Jerry, and Josephine, all starred in The Yankee Prince. George Cohen wrote it, and it was at the Knickerbocker and ran 119 performances, which is pretty darn good in 1909. Mm-hmm. I was kind of like, oh. Russian-born, 1927, Russian-born Sam Levine makes his Broadway debut in Wall Street at the Hudson Theater. He studied acting at AMDA, and he'll later play Nathan Detroit in Guys and Dolls. Mm-hmm. 97, Charles Durning and Julie Harris star in the revival of The Gin Game.
I didn't
see that. I wish I had. Ran 145 performances at the Lyceum Theater, and it was Harris's last Broadway appearance.
Oh.
I know. Today, it was the last one. 2010, speaking of music, bordering on American Idiot, the musical based on Grammy Award-winning rock band album by Green Day, featuring Michael Mayer, opened at the St. James Theater. One, Stark Sands was in that, and I don't think people realize that. And Stark Sands went on to be in Kinky Boots.
Right.
It's funny, I said that earlier. Somebody goes, what? And I go, yeah, he had a career before Kinky Boots, believe it or not. His original cast. 2011, after the 2009 London premiere, the stage musical stage adaptation of Sister Act opened up on Broadway. And then the 2014 were two shows that were seen off Broadway in the 90s, and they made their Broadway debut, Violet and The Cripple of the Inishmen, which was Sutton Foster was in Violet and Daniel Radcliffe was in the other. I found that kind of interesting. I was like, interesting. Didn't have a lot of birthdays, although a very good birthday. I don't know who this poor man is, but his name is Señor Wenches. He was born in 1896. I love you, Señor. Olé, happy birthday. Nina Froesch is 1924, and one Jessica Lange, 1949.
Wow.
And in honor of the music on the stage, we're going to play A Hair of American Idiot.
Summer has come and passed.
Okay, Bob Tolera just filled me in on Señor Winsett. Is that his last name, right? Señor Wences, he was the little hand puppet man, and apparently he was hilarious. So I'm going to have to see if there's any little YouTube video
there.
Must
be. There
you
must
sent
be.
Me on a mission, Bob Tolero.
Okay, go.
So quickly, we're going to play a little clip, give you guys a taste of what we do when we do backstage and offstage. We were able to get Holland Taylor to go backstage with us. And so we're going to give you a little treat of when we do the podcast and we do this segment, what you're missing when you don't get the podcast. So here's a little bit of Holland Taylor doing backstage at offstage.
Well, the curtain has just come down on Lisa's Lost, the musical. The story of a hapless young radio hostess searching for love in the big city, but unable to find it because she was lost amongst the dumpsters, the giraffes, and the large Ecuadorian rats. I don't know what any of that means. But here we are backstage. And look who I found back here earlier. It was Holland Taylor.
Holland Taylor, welcome to Backstage at Offstage.
Thank you very much. Well, I came out here to have a cigarette, but I forgot I don't smoke. So,
well, I have this cigar here.
I guess that's out.
I have this sneaking suspicion you grew up in a town close to Philadelphia.
I did. There's a little township called St. David's. Very pretty place, a very lovely place to live as a kid. And I have no idea, because I know you want to know this, I don't know how I decided to be in show business, but it was when I was quite young. I was like 10 or 11. And curiously, my parents did not do anything to dissuade me. My father was a lawyer. My mother painted and was an artist. And they just, you know, I guess maybe they figured I wasn't actually going to follow through, but then I did.
Little did they know.
Little did they know.
Well, you know, so when I got my equity card in the 80s, it was a huge deal to get the Equity card. Was it? Mm-hmm. Was getting to be a member of Equity such a milestone?
Yes,
for you?
It was. I mean, you had to do it, and I got a job in a little summer stock theater, and I think I was supposed to get my Equity card as, you know, as the result of doing that. And of course, he didn't do it. However, the guy was supposed to arrange it, and then I came into New York, and I didn't have one, is my memory. And I went to an open call that was supposed to be an Equity call, and I just went to it for The Devils in New York. The Devils is a play starring Anne Bancroft and Jason Robards. Mm-hmm. Damned if I didn't get a teeny part in it. And then they gave me an Equity contract so I could go over to Equity and join.
Now, was that the Broadway production?
Uh-huh. It was.
So your first Equity audition was for a Broadway show.
Yes, I know.
That you got in.
Yes.
Oh, mazel tov.
But I'll tell you, but that was 1965. And I'm tell you, it isn't like that now.
No.
The numbers of people who want to be in show business is so vast. And I don't know how anybody starts today. I don't know how anybody has the chutzpah to try. Because there's so, it's absurd. And also, I would say, probably a larger percentage haven't a clue what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they just want to be famous because we live in that era. I never wanted to be famous. That was not ever a motive or a thought of mine. I wanted to be in the theater.
Right. You wanted to work.
I don't know. The kids today want to be famous. They want to be rich and famous. That's why they become an actor. I said to a young student of mine when I teach, which I do once in a blue moon, I said, and he was a very good-looking, talented guy, and I said to him, oh, why do you want to be an actor? I was curious to hear. And he said, I don't know. It's just always, it's like for all my life, I've had this strange sensation. I just want to be famous. I was so surprised. I said to him, well, why don't you learn to make violins and become famous that way? It's like, are you an idiot?
I like that answer.
Yes.
No.
I do as well. Well, Anne, Holland Taylor, I just called you Anne. Holland Taylor, thank you for joining us backstage.
My pleasure. Thank you
Be
very much.
Be very careful up the stairs. They're wet. and we look forward to seeing you back in Austin.
I will. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Oh, she cracks me up. I love her. I could listen to her talk all day long. So that was a little treat. Holland Taylor is currently starring in Anne at Zack Theater through May 15th. For more information, you can visit zacktheater.org. And if you want to learn more about the play, AnneRichardsPlay.com has information, has some cool little clips. We're very lucky to have her here right now, and we're lucky to have her on. Here is a little bit, we just have a few minutes. We're going to give you a little bit of taste. We'll post the rest of this online. But here's Lisa and I were talking. We still talk about this interview when we spent the morning with the incredible Ben Vereen. And here's a little look back and some footage. We didn't play all of this, so here's some of Ben Vereen.
We're back. We're talking with Tony Award winner and performer and humanitarian, Mr. Ben Vereen. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, whenever I say good things about you, you sort of look like you're a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm not uncomfortable with it. I appreciate it. People call me a legend, and I say, we're talking about this earlier. I says, great, give me a job.
I wish I didn't understand how you feel, but I absolutely do.
I was telling a story about Wesley Snipes this morning. I remember Wesley Snipes. I saw him at his preview, and he bows down to me. And I go, Wesley, what are you doing? He said, no, you're a legend. You're a legend. I got in show business because of you. And I said, wow, thank you. Can you give me a job?
Well, I know how Wesley feels. I've always sort of prided myself on not being terribly starstruck when I meet people that are really big in the business. Yes. But I have to say that when you agreed to speak with us, I you're one person that I'm sort of starstruck around. Okay, so there you go.
And we're praying for Wesley because, he's still, back at the college, I call it. So, if he listens to this, Wesley, we love you. We miss you, man.
Yes.
Talented man.
Very talented man.
Amazing.
Going from Jesus Christ Superstar, the show that you won the Tony Award for Best Actor in is a huge one for me. And that, of course, I'm talking about is Pippin.
Yes.
The Bob Fosse production that chronicles King, or sort of chronicles King Charlemagne and his son, yes. Pippin, P-I-P-E-N.
Yes.
but what a wonderful thing. And from what I heard, that originally your player, which was your part, which was the, I think it was leading player was the name of the role, which acts as sort of a foil and a narrator, was not as big as it ended up being.
No, it was not. It was, matter of fact, when Bob, I auditioned for him because I just came back from San Francisco, and I went to the audition primarily. I didn't know if there was a role. I wanted him to see how I'd grown. And so I went to the audition, and Bob listened to me sing, and he said, good. He said, great. He said, now take this piece of paper and learn this monologue and come back. So I went downstairs, and I tried to do it best I could. And I came up, and I did the read, and he said, your reading's not great. He said, but we'll be in touch.
Leave your picture with a girl at the door. Exactly. We'll call you.
So next thing I know, I'm getting this call from my agent that they wanted me to do Pippin. And he read the script. He said, this show has about 20% chance of making it. And I said, well, if Bob's going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so I went to the first rehearsal, and we sat around the reading table, and all it was the monologue to open the play, and then it was enter Charlemagne, enter Pippin, enter Flostrata, and I was looking, and Bob was at the other end of the table cracking up. So he comes down after everyone went for lunch, and I'm sitting there looking at these blank papers. I'm going, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into? And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he said, don't worry about it. I said, don't worry about it. And next thing I know, boom, the leading player was
everywhere.
Born.
That's great.
I have to tell you, I have stories of myself. I moved to New York in 1977. Mm-hmm. And I saw, and I forgot the gentleman's name, he played David in Sesame Street, playing your role. Northern is his first name.
Northern Calloway. Matter of fact, I went to high school at Northern Calloway.
Yeah, and he had a tragic end.
Very tragic end. Missed this man. He was an amazingly talented man.
I have to tell you, he did wonders with your role. I thought he did a really good job. But in 1977, when I was a poor, starving performer in New York, not making any money, I have really fond memories of my friend Mark Baltazar and I walking through the streets of New York, singing at the top of our lungs the right track. and he played Ben Vereen, and I played John Rubenstein.
That's hilarious, Lisa.
Okay, we're going to leave you all on that note. That Lisa and her friend were playing Ben Vereen and John Rubenstein. So we'll have to post more of that. What a lovely day. We were talking here in the studio saying he showed up in his top hat and tails. And Bob, you said he showed up on Broadway like that to come see Anne. And he's just a class act.
Totally.
He was in town. He's a big spokesman for diabetes. And he was in town and he took the time to speak to Lisa and I. And boy, that was really a treat. Just a treat. So so I have to thank everyone today. Bob Tolero, thank you for co-hosting.
You're welcome, dear. Welcome.
I hope you will come back and do this again with me. Nathan, thank you so much for coming in and talking about Penfold. And you have to come back in and talk to us about, update us on the new space and what's going on.
Lots of exciting things. Because
there's still some other exciting stuff we need to talk about.
Very exciting.
So, Tracy, thank you for guest engineering and coming back and playing with us. And
my pleasure. Thank you, as always, for having me.
Yeah, I know. You like the theater. I love that you get involved with this. So I'm gonna ask everyone and put you on the spot, kind of, sort of, because you knew I was going to ask. But no, you didn't. You didn't. What's your favorite Sinatra song? Mine, I have to argue between, it's funny, as much as I love Candor and Ebb, and I do love New York, New York, That's Life is actually one of my...
That's a good one. That's hard to beat.
It's a torn one between those. So what about you, Nathan?
I'm going to go with Fly Me to the Moon.
Oh, yeah. See, that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. What about you, Bob Tolero?
My Way.
Yeah. See, I keep going, well, maybe I'll change it every time I hear the next song. What about you, Tracy?
It's like probably like Love and Marriage, just because I grew up on...
Oh, that's a good one.
I grew up on 90s TV. It's like we're married with children.
It is.
And so that is ingrained in my head.
That's so funny. Oh, that's hilarious. Well, if Ben Vereen had to choose a song, I don't know what he would choose. But I wish I had Ben Vereen singing for Sinatra. That would be awesome. I could imagine that. That'd be great. I'll call Ben. Get him on that.
There's got to be one.
There probably is. But here's we're going to go out with just a hair of Ben Vereen. We'll be back next week. We look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Thank you for joining us.